You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers, and I'm delighted to be joined by our expert pundit, Andrew Mount. And for this edition of the podcast, we are joined by Jamie McBride, who is one of the traders here at William Hill. We're going to be looking ahead to racing on Saturday afternoon at Sandown, starting first with the Listed Mares Hurdle going off at 1:50. Jamie, I'm going to bring you in straight away, just because Lorena is running for William Mullins, Ruby Walsh on board as well. What have we got her priced up at here?
She is the prohibited odds of 1-7 for tomorrow's race, so it might be a watch and learn for many punters.
Have you taken much money on her at all?
We haven't, no, to be honest. It's a bit of a dead race.
Anybody backing the rivals for a bit of an upset at all? Or?
A little bit for the Noel Williams second favourite, Sal Saluna, but she looks the obvious alternative, but she's got a lot to find to get up to Lorena. So, as I say, it's a bit of a dead race, but there is a distance special. Lorena to win by over 10 lengths at evens, which is a more...
Attractive,
that's what I'm looking for. More attractive price for many punters, and it's entirely possible she could do it. She won by more than that, 3 of the 4 runs last season, 18 lengths at Cheltenham, so it's very plausible that she could win by more than 10 lengths.
I think that's the way to play it, isn't it, Andrew? You know, how big of a distance does Lorena win by?
Yeah, you'd think she's probably going to win, but I mean, if you want to pick holes in a form, you could say that she's only ever raced in big fields. All her wins come in fields of between 11 and 14 runners. She's suited by a decent gallop. Maybe she's not going to get that in a small field tactical affair. I'm a big fan of the second favourite, Sensulano. She's in the tracker back in December 2017, when I said sort of probably did well to run second at Warwick when racing towards the outside, as she was jumping and hanging to her right. And I had her marked up as 1-2 back when she went right-handed. She did that at Ascot on the 24th of November. Won a good handicap hurdle at odds of 7-1. And I didn't go with her next time at Cheltenham because I thought the track wouldn't be ideal, but she still managed to win. So she's on the up, but probably got a mountain to climb to beat Lorena. So I think it's a case of Lorena first, Sensulano second. So there's not much juice there in terms of betting without or, you know, doing the straight forecast. So it'll be a watching race for me on Saturday.
Yeah, and don't forget about the special that's being priced up by the traders as well. Lorena to win by over 10 lengths. That's currently even money with us here at William Hill. The grade one of the day at Sandown is the Tolworth Hurdle, and Rathill, I think, is prominent in the market. Just before I speak to yourself, Jamie, about how the market is going with that, we'll start first with you, yourself, Andrew. Rathill looks another nice recruit in the JP McManus Silks.
Won a maiden hurdle at Newbury last time out, a big field competitive affair. I think it was 18 runners, but I've got to take this one on here. One of my systems that I favour is opposing maiden hurdle winners when they step up to grade one company for their second hurdle start, or at least next time out. And over the years, if we go back to 2002, if you back every maiden hurdle winner running in a grade one next time out, this is over hurdles, minus £100.73 to a £1 level stake, only 15 winners from 188 runners, an 8% strike rate. Even Willie Mullins struggles to win in these circumstances. And when you see horses who actually pull off that feat, maiden hurdle to grade one in one step, they tend to be superstars along the likes of York Hill. So Rathill is going to have to be very special to make that step in one go. So I'm going to take him on and be looking elsewhere for the winner here.
Just looking at the rivals then, you've got Alexia Denutz, if I've pronounced that completely wrong. He's actually going for a hat-trick. He won a Grade 2, which was the Supreme Trial at Cheltenham back in November. And you can also put a good word in for Southfield Stone as well, one of the Paul Nicholls runner. He's actually going for the four-timer.
Yeah, my only concern now is that this is the time of year I tend to take on the Paul Nicholls and the Dan Skelton runners blind. Nicholls, it's well documented, gives his runners flu jabs over the Christmas period. It often knocks them out of kilter for a few weeks and around about this time of year. And we took on a Skelton runner at Wetherby on Friday afternoon, who was the second favourite behind the odds on in the without the favourite market. And that one was only fifth, I think. So that would put me off ID Degard, the 20-1 Skelton runner, and Nicholls has got two here, Southfield Stone and Grand Sansi. So by process of elimination, it's going to be Elixir Denutz for me, the Colin Tizard horse. Impressive when beating Jarvie's Plate at Cheltenham last time, and of course we saw what that one did on New Year's Day to give the form a massive boost. And I think he can take another step forward here before having a crack at the Supreme. So it's Elixir Denutz to take on the favourite Rath Hill for me.
And we'll bring in Jamie again in regards to that. So as opposed to talking first about the favourite, plenty of money behind the second favourite here, the Colin Tizard runner.
He's been solid, Alexia Denutz, yeah, all the way through. There's been some questions all week about what Henderson was actually going to run. He had four horses entered, and I think all four of them would have probably went off favourite for the race. But Alexia Denutz has been the obvious alternative to that Henderson quartet, and he has been popular throughout the week.
And what about Rath Hill?
He's been popular now that he's definitely the number one, definitely the choice of the four. I mean, as I say, any of the four could have gone off favourite. You had Birchdale, Epitant and Lust for Glory, all exciting novices. The fact that Rath Hill's the one that they've chosen, the vibes are positive. He's a strong 6-5 favourite at the moment.
Any support or anything for the Nicholls runners?
No, they've been surprisingly quiet. I thought there might have been a bit more support for the bottom horse, Southfield Stone, who's the choice of Cobden. I would presume he had the choice. He's been winning weaker races, but he's been doing it nicely. So it wouldn't be a total surprise with the odd having such a good time over Christmas that there is money for him.
And if we look ahead to the Veterans Handicap Chase going off at 3 o'clock, Andrew, just before I get the thoughts and opinions of yourself, Jamie, I'll come to you first. Wow, cracking renewal. Where do we start with this?
It is a great renewal. It's stood up really well. The race hasn't really changed from the five-day stage. The early movers were Larev, who's a bit of a course specialist. He runs well here and at Kempton, so obviously going right-handed suits. And the other one that was the early mover was the David Pipe horse, Rathlin Rose. They run it three years ago with Sol.
Yep.
He was, I think it was fourth to Loose Chips last time. It looked a bit of a prep for this, although, to be fair, they've probably all been laid out for it. It's a good price for these veterans. They were the two early movers early in the week.
Any money for BioWise? I think he won it 12 months ago, didn't he, BioWise?
He did, yes. No, he's been quiet, to be honest. He hasn't shown a great deal so far this season. He probably has been lined up for this, but he's a bit of a sketchy jumper, and he's maybe last year was his day in the sun.
And Pete the Feet as well, 15 years old now, also a former winner of this Veterans Chase. He was a good third last time out, wasn't he, at over course and distance?
He was, yeah. He won this 2 years ago off 124. I think he was second last year off 113. He's now 132, so you're asking him to be better than he has been at the age of 15. So it's a bit of a stiff ask, but he's likely to prove popular.
Yeah, certainly will be. Indeed, Andrew, I'll say the same to yourself. Where do we start here? Looks a cracker renewal.
Yeah, fascinating race. These Veterans Chases have really caught the betting public's imagination now, and you get some old favourites and often get good fields. And as Jamie says, the race has really sort of stood up, because I was refreshing my Racing Post website expecting to see fewer than 17 runners, but it's pretty much the same as it was at the four-day deck stage. Now, what I like to do with these Veterans races is side with the youngest horses in the race. Now, the youngest horses allowed in Veterans Chases are usually 10-year-olds, but of course in this one you have to have qualified by running in a Veterans Chase in 2018. So as we're only on the 5th of January, it's 11-year-olds. Now, last year the race was won by an 11-year-old BioWise, 3 years ago Sol, an 11-year-old trained by David Pipe. And it's only Pete Lafitte who's managed to break the 11-year-old streak, winning 2 years ago at the age of 13. But the second, third and fourth that day were all 11-year-olds. So I'll put a line through anything aged 12 or older. That gets rid of 8 of the 17 runners and gives us 9 to look at. I'll also take on tour Evan Williams' runner, because he only tends to win between September and November, goes off the boil in the winter months. Larev's interesting given his course form, as Jamie mentioned. He's got a great record here in class 2 or lower company. I just worry about the size of the field though, because he's never won a race of more than 10 runners, so with 17 of them there's potential for traffic trouble there. Henlon Harry's quite interesting for Peter Bowen, having won the race formerly known as the Whitbread, although he does go out to his left on occasions, and Peter Bowen is on record as saying he does prefer going left-handed, so maybe with the ground softer than ideal for him, he could be up against it. And the one I'm going to side with is one of two horses for Dr. Richard Newland, Rock Gone, who was second last time out. Rathlin Rose would be the danger, so perhaps I'll back the pair, Rock Gone and Rathlin Rose, against the field.
Thank you very much there, Andrew. And we cannot finish the podcast. Oh, Jamie, you got something to say?
I was just going to say on that, I think many people will have the same view on Rock Gone, in that a lot of people will side for the one who's had the relatively least racing. And if there's, from a market's point of view, if there's one that's going to fall through the floor tomorrow and go off 4-1 fav, I think Rock Gone will be the one for Dr. Newland, who's having a great season, and presume Sam Twiss and Davies has chosen him above Banded Blood. And just one other down at the bottom that I quite liked, that has a similarly relatively lightly rated profile, was Halo Moon. Yeah. Who joined Neil Mulholland off a rating of 99. He's just been on a steady upward curve for Neil Mulholland. He can go well fresh. And as I say, he's had less race than most of them, and at a big price, he could go well.
Thank you very much. That's the thoughts and opinions, and also the selection from Jamie as well. Now, as we're saying, we cannot finish the podcast without having two selections from Mr. Mount. He's not told which ones they were. He said he was just going to surprise me. So, just as a guess, is it the all-weather action maybe that you've gone for?
Only one of them's on the all-weather.
Only one, yeah, okay.
That's Graceful James in the 1240 at Lingfield. This one's well handicapped. Not best drawn here, but he is switching back to a left-handed track, which is key to him. He's got a poor record at Kempton, but when he goes left-handed, he's very hard to kick out of the first three. Four times he's switched from Kempton to a left-handed track, Chelmsford or Lingfield. He's won once and finished placed on three occasions, including at 25-1. So I think returning to a left-handed track after a down-on-the-field effort at Kempton last time, Graceful James should reward each-way support in the 1240. And the other one's Wicked Willie, one of my January jumpers. Tends to go well at this time of year. Three runs in January, three wins. Ran well at Cheltenham last time out, doing best of those to come from off the pace, finishing third at the December meeting. And hopefully he can give Nigel Twist and Davis another winner.
Fantastic stuff. Thank you for your selections there, Andrew. Don't forget to tune in to William Hill Racing Radio live on Saturday afternoon from 11:45 a.m. John Gibby, Gary Catewell and Kevin O'Malley are your team, and they'll be taking you through all the action at Newcastle, Sandown, Wincanton, Lingfield and Kempton.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.